Christian greetings, everyone. This is Nicholas from Presence of God Ministry welcoming you to this week's Truth Provided broadcast, a remnant awareness program dedicated to revealing prophetic fulfillments of Antichrist as they are realized in historic as well as current events we see coming from the Vatican, as well as other related sources today. If you have any questions or comments you feel would be a blessing to others, please feel free to call me during the last half of the show at 1-800-858-6582, and please be on topic. If you have unlimited long distance or a cell phone, use 1-559-733-5161. If you're listening to this broadcast online at firstamendmentradio.com or WWFAR.com, using dial-up and do not have access to a second phone line at this time, I invite you to join me on the website at remnantofgod.org. Once there, click the microphone on the main page and follow the prompts to the public room in the POGM audio chat room on the website. You can share any comments or questions you have with me during the show there live, which I hope to do today. If I don't forget, I'd like to field some questions from the text chat. We're not going to be able to do the audio chat. We could, but I'm not set up like that right now where you'll be able to hear the people speaking in the audio chat room on the air. But sometime in the near future, I hope to be able to do that. And by the way, I invite you to join us in this free audio chat room on the website Wednesdays at 7 o'clock Central, Friday nights at 8 p.m. or Saturdays at noon for fellowship, Bible studies, worship, chit-chat, anything you want. You can even use it like a long-distance phone call for free. You know, you just let a friend know that you're going to be on at a certain time, go in, and you can talk for free. All right, moving right along. We have a lot to cover today, so let's get started. I'm not going to do a recap of what I've done over the last few weeks because it's an awful lot of information to go over, and it'll probably take me 10, 15 minutes just to do a quick recap. So I'm just going to pick up from where I left off. For those of you that want to know what we have covered in the last few weeks, you can go to the website at remnantofgod.org, go to the live radio section in the menu, that's audio section of the menu, or on the main page there's a picture of a old-fashioned radio box. Just click it. It'll give you all the information about firstamendmentradio.com, and then if you scroll down, you'll see a little click where you can go to the archives of my broadcasts. All of them are on my website, and each week, WWFAR.com also holds on to the archives as well on their server, and but it does take up space, so if you can donate in any way, shape, or form to help them, that'd be nice, too. All right. Antichrist will have a church that will make war with the saints is the prophecy I'm going to start with this week. Daniel 7:25 says, and he shall make war, or he shall wear out the saints of the Most High. And then Revelation 13:7 says, and it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. We learned earlier that the beast comes out of many waters, and many waters in prophecy means many peoples, nations, and tongues. And you can go anywhere on planet Earth now, in any country, including Russia, you'll find a Roman Catholic Church. And that's not saying a lot for Christianity, because Roman Catholic Church is a church and a state at the same time. I remember as I was a young Catholic growing up in parochial school, they told me that I was not only a citizen of the United States of America, I was also a citizen of Rome. And if push came to shove, I was to embrace my citizenship with Rome over and above that which, you know, the citizenship of the American people. Which I thought was a bit strange, seeing how I wasn't on Roman soil. But anyway, Rome has all along never denied it persecuted Christians. You know, I mean, even on March 12, 2000, the Pope admitted it. So, I mean, sure, they called them heretics. But when you look into what these heretics believed, they were actually Bible-believing Christians. History is literally drenched with all sorts of evidence proving this out nicely. Jesus said in John chapter 16, verse 2, that they shall put you out of the synagogues, yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you think that he doeth God's service. But were you aware that in the Pope's globally broadcast Mea Culpa on March 12, 2000, that he admitted that the Catholic Church killed millions upon millions because they thought they were doing God service? He almost said word for word what Jesus said Antichrist would do. Jesus said they will kick you out of the churches and kill you, thinking they're doing God's will, and the Pope says they kicked people out of the churches and then had to kill them because they thought they were doing God's will. I got a couple of quotes later on in the broadcast to share with you as well from days past from this church in regards to that that type of boldness. You know, the strange thing is, the whole world missed that. All I saw that the mea culpa on March 12, 2000, was the media and all the world talking about how holy the Pope was for asking for forgiveness. You know, don't get me wrong, I do forgive the Pope as well as all the popes, the cardinals, the bishops, the priests, the nuns, and governing officials under the rule of Rome that did those things. If I don't forgive them, I am no more a Christian than Satan himself. But forgiving him doesn't change history. I have forgiven and forgotten, as I am instructed to do as a Christian. But I am also painfully aware that my Bible has these prophecies in it, right now, still to this day. They are here for a reason. We are told in advance what the Pope will do simply because we are called to warn the people. So yes, I forgive him and all his cohorts. But the Word of God is plain. It warns us he isn't done yet. So we must study the prophecies of old so as to better understand the character of this Antichrist we find ourselves engaging in these last days. As usual, I'm not going to ask you to take my word for it when it comes to prophecy being fulfilled. So does history confirm the popes of Rome as being the ones that have killed the Christians in mass numbers, as prophecy said they would do? From brief Bible readings for the home, on page 16 it says, "For teaching faith contrary to the teaching of the Church of Rome, history records the martyrdom of more than 100 million people." From the New Catholic Encyclopedia under the article Inquisition, or you can also look up Auto de Fe or Massacre of St. Bartholomew's Day, and you'll find this, quote, "Under the influence of Germanic customs and concepts, torture was little used from the 9th to the 12th centuries. But with the revival of Roman law, the practice was reestablished." And by the way, the Roman International Criminal Court was reestablished in 1999, people. They are now, the FBI is now talking about torture. Continuing, in the 12th century, in 1252 AD, by the way, Pope Innocent IV sanctioned the infliction of torture by the civil authorities upon heretics, and torture came to have a recognized place in the procedures of the inquisitional courts. This is from a sermon by a Catholic priest by the name of D.S. Fallon on Sunday, December 12, 1909, published in the Roman Catholic St. Louis periodical, The Western Watchman, on December 16, 1909. Listen to what he says here. And I'll cover that in a second. He says, during the 2,000 years, well, first of all, that's a lie. It hadn't been 2,000 years yet, but anyway, it says, during the 2,000 years the Roman Catholic Church has been on this earth, she has warred with nearly every government in this world. The world is full of their ruins. Their thrones have toppled over and fallen. Their dynasties have come to dust. And the governments of the world today will meet the same fate if they challenge the hostility of the Church of God. Let me stop there for a minute. Where in your scriptures does it say Jesus would grab somebody and smack them upside the head, or boil them in oil, or bury them alive, or cut them in half, or give them hostility like this, and say, "I have a hostile church"? You know what happened when Peter, the supposed first pope, cut the guy's ear off there that was coming up towards Jesus? What did Jesus do? He stopped him, and he put the guy's ear back on. But yet this priest, this church, believes this is their right. Continuing, he says, "She remains, she is today what she was 2,000 years ago." Okay, right there, that's a lie. Because this is in 1909, people. It wasn't until 1929 that when Mussolini signed a historic pact with Cardinal Gasparri, that the Roman Catholic Church once again became a church and state, because the mortal wound was inflicted already in 1798, a few years prior, when General Berthier was sent in by Napoleon. In the exact 1,260th year that Revelation 12, 13, and Daniel 7 said it would happen. We covered that either last week or the week before, I can't remember. One of my favorite prophecies. I mean, it's just boom, right on date. I mean, it's just perfect. All those prophecies in the 2,300-year prophecy of Daniel 8 and 9, it's uncanny how accurate they are. It boggles my mind how people can't catch that. And how, what also boggles my mind is when you get to that the week of Daniel, the seven-year period, like when all of a sudden Jesus shows up in the year 27 AD, exactly on time, 483 years to the date from when the time that the King Artaxerxes said it was okay to rebuild Jerusalem in 457 BC, he's shows up right on time, and then exactly 3.5 years later, he's hung on a cross, and then exactly 3.5 years later, Stephen is stoned, just as prophecy all stated would happen. But so many people that misunderstand prophecy today will take that 7 years and put it at the end of the world and say there's a 7-year tribulation coming. You can't take prophecy out of chronological order, because if you do, everything's out of place now. You have to stop all prophecy until you the world. And I don't know how they can do that. Anyway, continuing. This priest goes, she remains, she is today what she was 2,000 years ago. And he wasn't, because they were not a church and state at that time. She is today what she was during the Middle Ages. She is today what she was during the times of Protestant persecution, during and since the 16th century. She is the invincible church of God. And then he says, God help the state that attacks her. God help the king that provokes her hostility. He's actually saying, you better pray to your God, because I'm coming to get you. Now, what does that tell you? He's not working for the same God. Because it just doesn't make sense for him to say something like that from a pulpit. This next quote comes from the Lawfulness of Persecution in the Rambler on June 4th, 1849, on page 119. The Rambler, by the way, was a English Roman Catholic journal published in 1848 till 1862. It says this: the Catholic has some reason on his side when he calls for the temporal punishment of heretics. By the way, the Pope called us heretics on March 12, 2000, when he so-called apologized to the world for killing 500 million people. Anyway, he goes, the Catholic has some reason on his side when he calls for the temporal punishment of heretics. For he claims the true title of Christian for himself exclusively and professes to be taught by the never-failing presence of the Spirit of God. Now listen to this. He says, it is no more morally wrong to put a man to death for heresy than for murder. And in many cases, persecution for religious opinions is not only permissible, but highly advisable and necessary. Still on the books to this day, folks. From the T.R. Burks, The Four Prophetic Empires, 1845 edition, page 248, says this: under the bloody maxims, Roman Catholic decrees to kill Protestants is what the bloody maxims were. Under these bloody maxims, those persecutions were carried on. After the signal of open martyrdom had been given in the canons of Orleans, there followed the extirpation of the French Albigenses under the form of a crusade, the establishment of the Inquisition, the cruel attempts to extinguish the Swiss or the Waldenese, the martyrdoms of the English Lollards, the cruel wars to exterminate the Bohemians, the burning of Huss and Jerome, and the multitudes of their confessors, or other confessors rather, before the Reformation and afterwards, the ferocious cruelties practiced in the Netherlands, the martyrdoms of Queen Mary's reign, the extinction by fire and sword of the Reformation in Spain and Italy, by freed and open persecution in Poland, the massacre of Bartholomew, which, by the way, they have a big painting of as a trophy in the Vatican itself, the perjuries of the French Huguenots by the Catholic League, and all the cruelties and perjuries connected with the revocation of the Edict of Nantes in France, these are the more in open, conspicuous facts which explain the prophecy of Daniel 7, besides the slow and secret murders of the Holy Tribunal of the Inquisition of the Roman Catholic Church. And this last quote I had comes from the encyclical Quattratura issued by Pope Pius IX on December 6, 1866. He says, socialism, communism, clandestine societies, Bible societies, and pests of this sort must be destroyed by all means. Prophecy says, he will make war with the children of God. He will attack the Christians. Some of the totals were not completely accurate in those quotes, as it was rather difficult to investigate and find each and every person Rome killed. Fact is, all of the totals were rather small in comparison to the actual amount. You know, if you seek a more accurate count, I suggest the book, Fox's Book of Martyrs. This book has a far greater list of facts on this, because this was the sole reason for writing that particular book. John Fox put it together to expose Roman Catholicism and why and how, and it's a tearjerker. It's really hard to read that, to see how some of these people were put to death very slowly. It was insane how they were put to death. No one put more research together on this prophetic events than John Fox did. And he calculates the number, listen to this, he calculates the number to be in the range of 500 million killed over the years by Rome. Of course, no one can be 100% accurate, especially since many of the killings were done in secret dungeons and many of the records have been destroyed by Rome so as to hide the truth. Kind of like what we're starting to see in our nation with these secret tribunals and the military things that you see going on in Cuba or even in Iraq. How do you record three complete nations that were completely wiped out in the infancy of Roman Catholicism? Of course, I speak of the Vandals, the Heruli, and the Ostrogoths that we talked about either last week or the week before. You know, no one really knows how many millions were wiped out here because Rome all but completely wiped out these races of people. I believe the Ostrogoths were the ones that had an uncanny ability of beyond their years to calculate time. So it took us, after Rome destroyed them, it took like 300 or 400 years for us to get back on track to figure out how to keep track of time. Now, there aren't even any descendants alive from those three nations that even give us any inkling as to just how many people have been killed by the Vatican. And again, this does not count some of the modern-day atrocities. You can't see, some people won't even count Hitler, the 6 million Jews that he killed, even though he was connected with the Vatican and doing their work. Hitler was a Catholic. He was doing their work. And then when he was getting unpopular, as usual, Rome just backs off and plays the moral authority again. Many think that the Pope's mea culpa of March 12, 2000 was evidence that Rome had changed. They believe that the Catholic Church won't be killing again. Yet, this very same Pope that supposedly asked forgiveness for killing over 500 million Christians is the same Pope that reinstituted the Office of Inquisition in February of 1991. Headline: Holy Office still exists. Pope John Paul II revives Inquisition. The thought of a revived Holy Office of the Inquisition would pacify some and offend others. Nevertheless, the Holy Office still exists. Only its name has been changed. Pope John Paul II has been instrumental in its revival. One may argue that this Cardinal Ratzinger-run agency is merely an attempt by the Catholic Church to root out communism or backslidden priests and their practices, however. With John Paul II's objective to implement God's mandate by creating a global church and state, which will administer from the tradition Roman Catholic theology, is enough cause for alarm. Roman Catholic Jesuit priest Malachi Martin has already stated in his book, The Keys of This Blood, that the Pope will not tolerate any belief systems that oppose his, not on a civil or church level. This is from Kathleen R. Hayes, February 1991, NRI Trumpet, page 3. So, why is he apologizing in March 2000 when all along he reopened the Office of Inquisition that saw millions die at their hands? Because they plan to start killing again. Prophecy cannot lie. The Word of God said the mortal wound would be healed and this beast would come back in full force again, and so it will. One can easily see this beast snarling in how it boldly proclaims its agenda without fear of reprisal. I mean, listen to this quote from the Western Watchman, a Roman Catholic publication, December 24, 1908. Listen to what they say here. They say, the Catholic Church has persecuted. When she thinks it is good to use physical force, she will use it. Will the Catholic Church give bond that she will not persecute? The Catholic Church gives no bonds for her good behavior. That's right. They called it good behavior. Just as Jesus said in John 16:2, they actually think that killings and torture is good behavior that pleases God the Father. But look at verse 3 of John, chapter 16. Kind of lets the cat out of the bag, doesn't it? Jesus himself says, "These things will they do unto you because they have not known the Father nor me." This is not Christ-like activity, folks, to kill. On March 12, 2000, Pope John Paul admitted the Roman Catholic Church did or does not know the Father or Jesus. To deny that is to deny the very words of Jesus Christ. This church is literally drunken with the blood of the saints, as Revelation 17, verse 6 says. Still, some will say, "Hey, this is modern day. This cannot happen now. We're civilized. Hey, that was hundreds of years ago." But are you aware the Vatican is right now in court dealing with all that it was doing in the Nazi prison camps? Were you aware that they are being sued as we speak? I have all the facts on my Vatican War Crimes page on the website at remnantsofgod.org. here's just one small article from that page. And it's a bit upsetting. It's from Time Magazine, April 3rd, 2000, page 38. It's headlined, "They're All Together." An interview with Bill Dorich, one of the plaintiffs in a class action suit against the Vatican, put this together in Time Magazine, page 38. It's like it's a conversation between two guys, one guy named Jared and the other guy named Bill. Listen to what they say. Jared says, "This lawsuit initially involved Ukrainian plaintiffs, but now it involves people killed by the Ustashi fascists in Yugoslavia as well." Bill says, "Right. The Ustashi movement was marked by its clerical fascist character. It was controlled by the hierarchy of the Roman Catholic Church. The Ustashi killed Ukrainians first, but they killed people in Yugoslavia too, especially at the Croatian Ustashi death camp, Jasenovac. Jared says, "A lot of people don't realize that the Catholic Church was involved in this stuff." Bill says, "Up to its eyeballs. Priests were directly involved in the mass murders. We want people whose families were taken to Jasenovac and never returned. We want evidence of people being killed. We want any documents, photographs, testimonies. There's a lot of material out there that we know people have. The Serbs have never brought it forward. The Serbs always said, well, God knows what happened, so we don't have to parade this material around to show people evidence." Well, yes, you do. And that has been probably the biggest mistake the Serbs made in the last 55 years. We haven't made clear to the people what really happened. Jared says, "So, you were saying the lawsuit started with the Ukraine?" Bill says, "Right. The deposition started at a Serb named Petar Makara, started working with the attorneys Easton and LeVay, and gave them various names of people whose families were victims, mine included. And they asked me to be a plaintiff. The attorneys have filed an amendment complaint, and they have named three of us. The Chauvinic Foundation in Birmingham, Michigan, is involved. It's an organization to bring public attention to what we call the hidden Holocaust. It's not an unknown Holocaust. It is quite well known by scholars around the world. It is just that nobody wanted to come forward and talk about the victimization of the Serbs in the Balkans. Barry Litoshi from the foundation is looking for a Roma plaintiff to join the suit as well. We need people to come forward who have evidence to offer, particularly pictures, documents, and first-person testimonies. There still are some survivors out there, and of course, family members of people killed at Jasenovac. And don't forget the Ustashi killed people throughout Serbia and Bosnia, as well as Ukraine, as well as the Ukraine. Jasenovac was a trial balloon on how to effectively slaughter large numbers of people. It was controlled by the clerical fascist regime in Croatia under the control of the Roman Catholic Church." Listen to this. "Jasenovac was the first death camp in the test case. The Nazis wanted to see how many people it was possible to kill in how much time. You know, the organizational problems and so on. This was before Auschwitz and the others. They didn't have gas chambers at Jasenovac. So what they did was bludgeon people to death or disembowel or dismember them. Didn't take any bullets. They needed the bullets to fight the war. They had contests at Jasenovac every night to see who can kill the most in one night. One particular priest won by killing 1,500 Serbs in an evening. This was all documented." Jared says, "Oh my God." Bill says, "And since there are over 600,000 or 700,000 people who were killed, there should be a bunch of people out there like me. My relatives were all killed." Jared says, "My relatives were all killed in Lithuania and in Poland and in lots." Bill says, "Well, they're all together in common graves. The Jews, the Roma, the Serbs, the Ukrainians, all together. It is outrageous that the world does not know about this and about the terrible role the Vatican played both in leading the fascist Ustashi and in hoarding this money and later in making sure the killers got away. The Vatican set up the actual escape routes for Ustashi. These murderers, who were also Roman Catholic priests, fled to Argentina, Canada, and the United States after the war with false passports prepared from inside the Vatican rat line. This is all documented in the book Unholy Trinity by Ahrens and Loftus. Now, many that hate my ministry and proclaim that page of facts that I have on my website about this is a farce. But when I got permission to put the lawyers' phone numbers, Easton LeVay, to put the lawyers' phone numbers, their addresses, and their email addresses on that page, they have not since commented. That page also has a rather extensive list of links on the same topic. One more thing before moving on to the next prophecy. The were you aware that just last year the EWTN, or the Eternal World Television Network, which is a Roman Catholic television network, they have a website. They posted a conversation on their board, their message board, that spoke of all the positive benefits of burning heretics at the stake. They did this in the year 2000. The year 2002, I think it was, around May. I have all the posts before EWTN deleted them on my Evils of EWTN page on my website. It's a shocking thing to read. I'm not going to read it here. It's just kind of long, but it's unbelievable. And they erase this stuff before the word gets out. But this is EWTN. This is a nationally known, as far as I know, it could be global. Eternal World Television Network. It's a Roman Catholic television network. And they have this website, and these posts, even from priests and stuff, talking about, well, it's beneficial to kill people and burning them at the stake because, you know, it cleanses them of their sins, and it also lets other people know where they're headed if they don't stop, you know, denouncing the Christ that we embrace, which is, of course, the fake Jesus. You know, were you aware Pope John Paul II called all non-Catholics heretics in his globally broadcast Mea Culpa of March 12, 2000? Were you also aware that there are many nations of this world over where Roman Catholicism is a large part of the laws of the land? Kind of makes this next quote a bit more gruesome, doesn't it? The Archbishop of St. Louis said, "Heresy and unbelief are crimes, and in Christian countries, as in Italy and Spain, for instance, where all people are Catholics, and where the Catholic religion is an essential part of the law of the land, they are punished as crimes. Every cardinal, archbishop, and bishop in the Catholic Church takes an oath of allegiance to the Pope in which occur the following words: heretics, schismatics, and rebels to our said Lord the Pope or his aforesaid successors, I will to my utmost persecute and oppose." That's from Joshua Strong's book, Our Country, page 5, paragraph 2 to 4. Got a lot more after the break, folks. And if you want, call in. 559-733-5161. Nicholas from Presence of God Ministry. The website is www.remnantofgod.org. Plenty of information on the website to research every prophecy that's ever spoken in regards to Antichrist. You'll find that every single one of them have been documented using historic documentation to have been fulfilled by the Roman Catholic popes, as well as some of their cohorts. If you want to call in this part of the show, call in at 559-733-5161 or come into the chat room and put any questions that you might have in the text chat. I want to reread this last quote because, this is what's going to end up being global anyway with the Roman Catholic IRS and all that, but it's the Archbishop said what he said in Joshua Strong's book, Our Country. He said that heresy and unbelief are crimes, and in Christian countries, as in Italy and Spain, for instance, where all people are Catholics, and where the Catholic religion is an essential part of the law of the land, they are punished as crimes. The part I wanted to repeat is, every cardinal, archbishop, and bishop in the Catholic Church takes an oath of allegiance to the Pope in which occur the following words: heretics, schismatics, and rebels to our said Lord the Pope, or his aforesaid successors, I will to my utmost persecute and oppose. Does that sound Christ-like? If you are a Catholic and you're listening to me, and you know that does not sound Christ-like, why are you still in that church? Do you want to please your God or your Pope? From Cardinal Bellarmine, he was the famous champion of Romanism, cited by Schumacher on page 76. He says, experience teaches that there is no other remedy for the evil but to put heretics or Protestants to death. For the Roman Catholic Church proceeded gradually and tried every remedy. At first, she merely excommunicated them. Afterwards, she added a fine. Then she banished them. And finally, she was constrained to put them to death. If you read Fox's Book of Martyrs, pray before you read that, because it is going to affect you in a major way, and it is a true collection of facts. You can get to it on my website, you can Google it. Just look up Fox's Book of Martyrs. He spells his name F-O-X-E apostrophe S. Fox's Book of Martyrs. You know, with the one world church, the one world government, with the one world court, and the one world currency in the Pope's control, do you think Rome is going to have a problem making her satanic dogma into the laws of the land? Have you seen my Roman Catholic IRS page yet? It's actually happening now. If you want a 501c3 tax-free status in the United States of America, you have to agree that Roman Catholic dogma is biblical. You can't speak out against it. If you have a church, you cannot proselytize. You can't pull people out of the Roman Catholic Church. They could come and join your church, but they cannot leave their other church, or you will lose your 501c3 tax-free status. You know, according to prophecy, Rome will do as she desires. Can we stop it? No. All we can do is get ourselves ready to meet Jesus. He's the one that's going to stop it. You know, because signs like this prove beyond a shadow of a doubt he is indeed coming very soon. This is why you're hearing broadcasts like this. That's why a lot of the stuff that you hear on FirstAmendmentRadio.com is being proclaimed, as we are in the last days. Next prophecy. Antichrist is a world power which the world wonders after. Revelation 13, verses 3 and 4 says, and I saw one of the heads as it was wounded to death. We found out about that in a couple of broadcasts ago. And his deadly wound was healed. 1929, it started the healing. And all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshipped the dragon, which of course is Satan, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshipped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? You know, all throughout history, the Roman Catholic Church has appealed to the masses merely because sin is appealing to the lost. You know, it's a lot easier to go to a church that says you can be saved in your sins than from your sins. Most will say that Rome must be the true church because of its immense size. You know, but looking to Scripture, one can easily see that this immense size is a true giveaway. I mean, case in point, all the world thought Noah and his family were nuts. Only 8 people on the planet were walking with God at that time, if you believe your Bible. And as always, the majority is most likely to be those that are friends with the world. The whole world was wrong in Noah's day. So because you are in a big church, the odds are against you now. Because Revelation 12:17 says, the dragon went to make war with the woman. Woman is church, Jeremiah 6:2. But he's really angry at the remnant of her seed. Not the seed, but the remnant of it. Whenever the president of the United States would travel abroad, there would be upwards of 1,000 or more journalists covering his every move. During an election, one can expect that number to double. During wartime, it would triple. But look at the Pope. No matter what the occasion, there is always a minimum of 15,000 journalists covering his every move. I didn't make that number up. If the Pope so much as stubs his toe, people the world over will hear about it. All the world truly wonders after this beast. The word wonder in verse 3 of Revelation 13 is translated by Strong's Concordance this way. It's Strong's number 2296. It means to wonder, of course, or marvel, to be wondered at, or to have in admiration. Every popular magazine on earth has either openly stated the Pope as an admirable man or a holy man of God. Time magazine, back in 1981, actually said it's like shooting God when the Pope is shot. That's May 25th, 1981. George J. Church wrote the article, said, and this is what he said. I can't believe, this is what he said. He goes, shooting presidents, well, that's politics. That I can understand. But shooting the Pope, it's like shooting God. You know, it's bad enough for a man to believe that shooting another man is like shooting God. What does it say in the scripture about worshiping the creature over and above the creator of it? They're allowed to believe a lie, aren't they? Strong delusion is given them. You know, but to have a brazen disrespect for the lives of presidents who are assassinated merely because of their occupation is it's troubling to me, to say the least. I mean, because I can understand them getting shot. But the Pope, it's like shooting God, he said. You know, a simple fact to notice is this. This is how, you know, these crafty lies of the devil and all this other intricacies of what he does and his, you know, his genius, if you will. Simple truth blasts it like a little match being lit in a dark room. If the Pope were God, as he claims to be, in dozens upon dozens upon dozens of authenticated Vatican quotes that I have listed on my Words of a Beast page at remnantofgod.org, then why, I ask, has it never been recorded in any history book whatsoever of a Pope raising a man from the dead? Or how about a Pope healing a blind man, or a deaf man, or a leper, or a cripple? How about just healing somebody with a common cold? Hey, I got a boo-boo on my finger. Will he heal that? Not to be sarcastic or anything like that, but have you ever heard that? No. Or how about a simple miracle as easy as healing himself? How many popes have died since the beginning of the Roman Catholic Church? I thought they said they were God on earth. Why is it they keep dying? And why is it nobody notices that? These guys are dead. They're saying that they're eternal. They're God on earth. They are Jesus Christ in the flesh. They are the Lord God Pope. But yet they're dying. Why is it everybody missed it when Pope John Paul himself was unable to cast a demon out of a 19-year-old girl not long ago during a Vatican Mass? Listen to this headline. Vatican exorcism fails, September 12, 2000. A British newspaper has reported an unusual encounter with the devil in the Vatican, with Pope John Paul II himself attempting an exorcism of a possessed young woman. The Telegraph reported the Pope carried out an impromptu exorcism on a teenage girl after she began screaming insults in a cavernous voice during an audience in the Vatican City. Despite the Pope's efforts and those of his chief Satan buster, Father Gabriel Amorth, the girl remained possessed. I mean, he's supposed to be the head exorcist of the church. The devil's voice sneeringly laughed from within her at the Pope's attempt to drive him away, said the British news organization. Staff writer Sally Sudak. This was made known globally. Still, Catholics stayed in this church. Their wonderment of this man in robes has them hypnotized. You know, Adam Clark put it best regarding the popes when he said, and this is taken from a Adam Clark commentary on Daniel chapter 7, verse 25. He's a Bible commentary. He said, they have assumed infallibility, which belongs only to God. They profess to forgive sins, which belong only to God. They profess to open and shut heaven, which belongs only to God. They profess to be higher than all the kings of the earth, which belongs only to God. And they go beyond God in pretending to loose whole nations from their oath of allegiance to their kings when such kings do not please them. And they go against God when they give indulgences for sin. This is the worst of all blasphemies. I just got an article the other day. As a matter of fact, I got it today, where the Catholic Church put out documentation to all the Catholics that if you vote for John Kerry or somebody that is pro-abortion, you cannot take communion in your church. A bishop put that out just the other day. I got it on WorldNet Daily. I'm going to put it on the site. I might even do a radio broadcast on it. But the thing is, they're using the power that the church appears to have for the voting. You know, even with all the obvious evils of this church, they still sport over 1 billion members worldwide. Pray for them. And all the mainstream media outlets wonder after him as their God by calling him Holy Father. We found out about what that meant. John chapter 17, when Jesus Christ himself is praying to his Father in heaven, calls him Holy Father. Now, Antichrist must have all in agreement, either by choice, which is the forehead, or by force, which is the right hand, according to prophecy, or his plans for global control will not work. The easy part, of course, is to get the masses in agreement that the Pope is a moral man. People are easy to manipulate in mass numbers a lot easier than one-on-one, or should I say, sheeple. This is all regardless of the fact that not 30 or 40 years ago, all Protestant religions openly proclaimed him Antichrist. Today, none do. For those that don't quite believe that all Protestant churches call them Antichrist, I suggest surfing to my page on remnantofgod.org entitled, They Called Him Antichrist, in the prophecy section of the menu. In there, I have quotes from most mainline denominations declaring the popes of Rome to be Antichrist. Listen to this encyclical of Pope Pius X issued in 1864. This is what he said. He goes, the popes have the right to require the state not to leave any man free to profess his own religion, the right to employ force. They have the right to claim dominion in temporal things. They have the right to have the entire control of public schools. They have the right to hold princes and kings in subjection. They have the right to treat all marriages as invalid, which are not solemnized according to the forms of the Council of Trent. They have the right to prevent the state granting to immigrants the public exercise of their own worship. They do that in Europe now. It's against the law to be other than Catholic. They have the right to require the state not to permit free exercise or expression of opinion. I mean, they don't enforce it to any extent of the law, except for in small pockets, but it is the law of the land. Every single move of the Pope is televised on a global scale as a blanket over every eye on earth. Every church on the planet has absolute evidence that they have allowed the Roman Catholic Church to tell them how to worship in one way or another. The United States Internal Revenue Service has also bowed to the suggestions of the Latin-speaking man. Every man, woman, and child is affected in one way or another by the actions of the Vatican in Rome, whether in spiritual or in physical sense, or both. I just bought a CD the other day to figure out how to speak Latin because I'm sick of the death threats I get in Latin. I don't know what they're saying. So I got this, you know, well, I haven't gotten one in a while, but I have this thing with the Latin, and I couldn't believe, you know, you wouldn't believe how many terms we use in today's language in America. I just went over for like 10 or 15 minutes just goofing around, and I saw maybe upwards of like 50 different sayings that we as Americans use that are directly from Rome. Latin. They're all Latin words. Every nation on earth must have friendly relations with the Vatican in order to assure her friends do not remove them from the face of the earth. You know, truly, all nations declare who is able to make war with him, as prophecy stated they would. Every Protestant church that in the past has openly declared the Pope as Antichrist has now come forward in these last days to declare a change of mind. Every popular religious leader on earth, regardless of the fact that they profess Jesus is Lord, or not have all, declared the Pope a holy man. They're all doing it. Numerous strange laws found on the books of every nation on earth have been first suggested by Rome, and now every church, regardless of its proclamation of faith, Christian or non-Christian alike, are now filling the pews of the Pope's newly created one-world church. Has all the world wondered after the beast? Indeed, they have. For even the churches themselves have proclaimed their allegiance to this man. Headline, churches agree that the Pope has overall authority. The Pope was recognized as the overall authority in the Christian world by an Anglican and Roman Catholic Commission yesterday, which described him as a gift to be received by all churches. They said if a new united Christian church was created, it would be the Bishop of Rome who would exercise universal primacy. This was put forth in May 13th of 1999, while June 26th, year 2000, that united church became alive, and the Pope was elected the leader of it. Now, let me share just one more article before closing that quite graphically proves all the world wonders after this beast in Rome. Oh, and by the way, there is a reason we haven't been getting phone calls these last 3 weeks, and it has nothing to do with the radio station. I will explain that in about, well, when I'm done with these characteristics of Antichrist, I'll explain why. Anyway, getting back. This one article. There was a meeting called back in June of 1999 where all the powers that be were asked to come together on June 3rd, 4th, 5th, and 6th to discuss something those of us that study prophecy knew was inevitable. Headline: Clinton, Pope, join Bilderberger's secret meeting of global movers and shakers in Portugal. WorldNetDaily.com. What do Steven Spielberg, Pope John Paul II, Ted Turner, Boris Yeltsin, Bill Clinton, and House Speaker Dennis Hastert have in common? They are among those on a partial guest list of expected attendees to the 1999 Bilderberger meeting in Portugal scheduled for next week. The secret meeting in Sintra, Portugal, takes place between June 3rd and 6th, according to the sources which have penetrated the high-security meetings in the past. The Bilderberger meetings emphasize a globalist agenda and promote the idea that the notion of national sovereignty is antiquated and regressive. Can you guess what they're up to? Can you guess why the popes are there? The only religious leader attending. Have you ever seen who is on this list? All right. We got Randy on the phone from Kentucky. How you doing there, brother?
Hi. Hi, Nicholas.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing fine. I wanted to put in a quick comment before the end of the show. I always call in too late.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that happens. I've noticed the last couple of weeks I've been a little bit too busy with what's been going on, and I've been... Some folks have told me afterward, like an email and whatnot, that...
There's much information. It's amazing. You could talk for an hour per day, 7 days a week, and for a month it's still not covered all. But,
I know.
I wanted to say, you know, what a fine job you're doing, and I wanted to tell the people on the radio that, in my experience, talking to Catholics, it's amazing how they defend their rich traditions and saying, you know, all their pomp and ceremony is and rich traditions are above the Bible, and how the Bible is antiquated, and you know, they don't realize the pile of information or the things that they're going against in the Bible.
It's amazing that, yeah.
The word of none effect, as it says in the Bible, through their tradition and so forth.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's nailing it right on the head, and how Jesus actually told them that they're, you know, putting the word of God to none effect.
And absolutely.
Yeah, and this is exactly what's going on, and this is what we got to warn them of. But you see, they're taught at an early age not to embrace the Bible. They're taught it's a worthless book. I think I covered it last week.
Sure, and they're one big thing that they always put in front of me is their veneration of Mary, which is still a light form of worship, worship light, you know.
Yeah.
in a way, you know, so to speak.
Well, it is out and out worship, because the Pope has "Mary, I'm all yours" embroidered in his clothing in Latin. He has proclaimed he understands Marian worship. I have the actual quote from him, and about 22 other popes have stated that Mary is your co-redeemer. And that's only because it's Semiramis from the pagan church. If you look at the statue, the clothing, and even the circle of stars around her head that you saw back in the pagan days for Semiramis, the wife of Nimrod, who gave birth to Tammuz on December 25th, exact duplicate of the statue of Mary.
Mm-hmm.
Colors and all.
And they'll try to downplay the word worship. In other words, like veneration and reverence and so forth, that's still worship, though.
Yeah.
Like the idols, they bow down to and worship.
They try to come up with a different way, you know, to make it look okay.
Sure.
Yeah. Because they're not going to out and out say, look, I want you to bow down in front of the statue and worship it. Just venerate it. Well, what does veneration mean? You know?
But, yeah, it's amazing how blinded they even get the kids at an early age mixing the paganism, Santa Claus at Christmas with Christianity, and I think that's one big thing that causes a lot of trouble. It teaches the kids how to worship two gods.
Yeah, that's a mix. Yeah, exactly.
They think these kids don't think that Santa Claus is a god.
patron saint, well, according to the Catholic Church, and half sun god Wodin, W-O-D-I-N.
But anyway, I'll let you go and finish up your show there, and good talking to you again.
Well, thanks for calling, Randy. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
You take care. God bless. Well, that was interesting. Very interesting, as a matter of fact. It's amazing how some people just can see these things, you know, because a lot of folks out there choose not to look at it, or like we were talking about last week, they prefer to sit on the couch and say, ah, let somebody else do it, you know. But anyway, getting back to this meeting that they had on June 3rd, 4th, 5th, and 6th, you know, besides the obvious heads of states from all over the world attending the global meeting, there's just a few that I found on the list to be a bit strange. I mean, what are these guys doing in a global meeting such as this? You know, were Clinton and the Pope there to assure their global desires are understood by all people of the world? You know, I would think. Look at the names on that partial list. I don't know. I've got the list on my website. It's just a partial list. I mean, they never actually released the entire list for obvious reasons. But let me just read you some of the names of the people that were at this meeting, and you tell me if you ain't, you know, because what does the prophecy say? If you don't go along with the Pope, because he was at this meeting, the only religious leader at this meeting, by the way. If you don't go along with the Pope and his global agenda and his doctrinal issues, you will not be able to buy and sell, and then eventually you will be, you know, sentenced to death. So if you're not going to be able to buy and sell, he's going to have to sew up all people that buy and sell. Listen to some of the names of these people. And this is just a partial list. And I'm not going to read them all because the partial list has to be, oh gosh, I think 150 names I have right here. It's just a partial list. Listen to this. Oh yeah, and in the text chat, a friend of the ministry, Dwight and Dar, were just stated that they've never met a Catholic who understands his religion. I was Catholic and I didn't understand it. Like when I opened up the Bible, I got a little bit better understanding. And then, however, when I tried to share with my pastor, you know, I was trying to ask him, why is it the Bible says we should do this, but yet you're teaching us to do that? I don't understand. He goes, no, you got to quit reading the Bible. It's confusing me. That's when I made a decision. I'm out of this church. We're supposed to be Christians. This is a Christian Bible. You use it in the Mass. Well, you chop the daylights out of it, but still you're using it, and you claim to be, you know, like I had an email the other day where a guy says, you know, Sola Scriptura is a joke, and I can prove it. And he goes and he uses a Bible scripture to try and prove it. He takes it out of context, of course, but I says, wait a second. You just told me that the Bible's useless. How can you use a Bible to prove Sola Scriptura is a lie? I don't mean to chuckle, but, you know, he never emailed me back after that one. But listen to some of the names that are on this list. I'll close with this. That were at this global meeting. Now you tell me if they haven't already sewed up everything that we should buy and sell. Okay? You tell me. Amen. They are sheeple that do not study. Yeah, Rick. Amen. I'm commenting on some of the text chat here. Okay, anyway, CEO of Bell South, Dwayne Ackerman, was there. CEO of AT&T, Silicon Graphics. CEO of SAIC, whatever that is. I'm not going to mention their names. I'll just give you the titles. The CEO of Honeywell. Berkshire Hathaway, the CEO. CEO of Microsoft. Cisco Systems. Smith Barney. Inc. of Israel. A lot of them, folks. There's a lot of them. Stop at the website. www.remnantofgod.org when you get a chance. Thanks for listening. If you missed the first part of the broadcast, check it out Wednesdays at 2 o'clock Central Time. God bless everybody.